Jackson County State's Attorney Mike Carr is on the line. Mike, long time no see. How you been, buddy?
I'm doing just fine, Tom. Thank you for inviting me on your program.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Because, you know, it was weird because I was talking about this $1 million bond, and I was reading this last night, and the lieutenant governor says Eighth Amendment, which is, of course, against excessive bail and things along that line, right? And saying $1 million is too much for an arsonist. What does the state's attorney say?
Tom, you know, I just shake my head. I think the lieutenant governor should be the lieutenant governor. The bond has been set by a judge. It's not unconstitutional. You have somebody that's you know, obviously they're presumed innocent, but at least the charge is a very serious violent crime. And, you know, part of bail is designed to protect the public. Business owners, homeowners have a right to be secure in their businesses and their homes. And judges listen to arguments made by defense attorneys and by prosecutors, and they try to balance a defendant's ability to go home with the safety of the community. So, yeah. First of all, to say that it's unconstitutional is bizarre. There are circumstances in Jackson County where those bails are that high. I mean, you have a case where somebody gets killed or shot. You're going to have high bail. That goes directly to the security of our community.
All right. Well, see, and this is interesting because you said the lieutenant governor chimes in. You're no stranger. Scrutiny. To the state's attorney, scrutiny about every decision from every bench and every corner, and when you have as many challenges and that you've had in Jackson County and successes, there's always that scrutiny. So first off, let's talk about that. The biggest challenge that you've had in Jackson County since your election November 2012 and the biggest success. Challenge first.
Well, the challenges obviously are the violent crime and you know, making sure that we have the horses basically to pull the cart. And what I mean by that is we have to have lawyers that are capable and willing to try cases. Most of our cases end up being negotiated. It's in large part it's because the lawyers are good students of what the judges are likely to do, but let there be no doubt they're influenced by defense attorneys' understanding of whether or not the person that they're dealing with has the ability to try that case and to win that case. So knowing full well that we wanted to prosecute or wanted to focus on the most serious violent crimes, you know, the biggest challenge is how do you go about doing that? What are the most serious crimes? And we started with what our elected representatives tell us that they are. And they've done that through by making mandatory minimums. They've assigned mandatory minimum sentences because they think some of these offenses are so serious that people should be removed from the community. And so one of the things I did is I actually implemented, it's a big challenge, I implemented policy in our office that will not, first of all, we'll charge, assuming that we can prove the offense, the highest readily provable offense for those very serious charges, murder, sexual assault, burglary, arson, the case that we're just talking about, and will not enter into a negotiation that would undermine what the legislature has done, and that is we're not going to enter into a negotiation that's going to be below the mandatory minimum sentences. And in addition to that, we're going to focus on people that have already committed offenses and been sent to prison. We know that people that are released there's 66% of those people within 2 to 3 years may reoffend, and so we're going to focus on those people, and we've been able to do that. The biggest successes are between 2000 and 2012. Our felony filings in Jackson County were 760. And at the end of 2019, they were 513. That's a 30% drop in felony filings. And lest people think that, well, maybe you're just not filing those and you're filing misdemeanors, we've had a corresponding 25% drop in the misdemeanors. We focused on the serious criminal offenders. For people that think that the state's attorney's office is going to stop violent crime, I mean, that's just bizarre. We deal with it. Imagine, Tom, you know, the idea that somehow a state's attorney through some prosecution can unravel poverty, mental health issues, and somehow and through a juvenile intervention to somehow stop all the violent crime. Our society, those are society issues. Society needs to decide what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, how much money we're going to pay. And these are very difficult issues for our communities. But you need a state's attorney that can remove people that need to be removed and that has the compassion and judgment to be able to understand that there's a difference between those people that pose a serious risk to our community and those that do not. And Jackson County, I think, has done a very good job in differentiating. We handle a large number of cases that should never be involved in our prison system. We work with our probation office, with our Department of Children and Family Services, with social service agencies. We have contracts with Centerstone and other social service agencies to provide treatment for those people. The biggest challenge really is the state's attorney has to have the trust of the community. And that trust only comes from our reputation for fairness. Yeah, how you're dealing with people.
When you and I talked about this in November of 2012 and up to that election, that was one of the commitments you said. Finding the people that need to go to jail, putting them there, and keeping them there, because recidivism was one of the biggest things that you saw as a problem in Jackson County.
And I think we have had quantitative results in using that approach. There is a major difference between 760 filings and 536 filings. How do we break this cycle? All I can tell you is that when you read about something occurring in Jackson County or in Williamson County in your home, online or in the newspaper, hear about it on the radio, it's important for the message to come out when they're convicted, for people to understand, wait a minute, there's actually something being done. So just how secure and safe am I in this community? And bluntly, if you're not involved in the drug trade, it's pretty safe here. And that may be too blunt for some, but imagine for a second you've got $3,000 to play around with to buy some kind of drug, and the person comes there and takes your money, gives you the drugs, and realizes you have the drugs and no protection there, and wants to come back in with a gun, or knows that you regularly dealing and wants to go get the money. And so we certainly have that, and we've focused on people that are dealers that make an enormous amount of money dealing that. As part of that trade, have guns. So we're focusing on the gun violence and on dealers, and at the same time, working to try to differentiate between those that just have addictions. People that think that the state's attorney is going to lock everybody up need to understand that the way the system works is judges do the sentencing. To the extent that we have any role in this, we can take the most serious offenses. Say we're not going to. You're going to be removed because we're not going to go below a mandatory minimum. But a defendant has an opportunity to make his, make his argument for why it is that he should not be one of those people that goes for a long time. And we get to make our argument, and the court actually is the one that makes the determination about just what is in the interest of the community. How can we protect our community? That's why I'm a little bit, I guess, defensive when I hear a lieutenant governor talking about a judge that's made a decision about the safety of the community on bail. I think we have my message is something that is obviously not adopted by people, but I think that it's pretty, I shouldn't say adopted by people, it's not adopted by the judiciary, but the judiciary, they're in sync with that. It's because it makes sense.
Mike, we're getting running out of time, okay? So I want to hit you with a final question. You got 60 seconds, Mike. You've been in office since 2012, all right? At the election 2012. Why?
And 12 years before as a school board member.
Right, and then, of course, federal prosecutor as well. And a lot of other things that have gone along. But why Mike Carr for another term, Jackson County State's Attorney, in a turbulent time, defund the police and criticism about high-profile cases? Why should Mike Carr be retained as State's Attorney?
Mike Carr should be retained now more than ever for exactly what you're talking about. We don't need to defund police. We do need mental health, and we do need other kinds of resources. But imagine getting ready for a trial, and then some restaurant gets shot up, and we have to have three evidence technicians, and our police department has two. My car's been there and worked together with law enforcement and caused cooperation. We now are able to share, our law enforcement for the first time is working together. We have other departments that work together to meet resource shortages. We have a very clear choice in this election. Mike Carr has tried over 100 jury trials. My opponent has never tried a murder trial, and I have four pending cases on my desk when you walk in. My opponent's been a part-time assistant in juvenile court in Saline County and doesn't even live in this county. The difference is just stark. I live here. I want somebody that has the know-how and the willingness to try a case so that my family and my friends are protected. And I have people in my office that are doing that. My opponent's running for a job. This is my career. Tom, thank you for your opportunity to talk to you today.